Engaging conversation on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Hey all, Brian Kemper here with Pro Life is the New Punk Rock. It is Thursday night. I will be heading to DC this weekend for some events at the Supreme Court of the United States of America regarding Roe versus Wade and the opportunities that we see coming up for that to be overturned and for life to be protected in the womb. And I have a very special guest with me today, Reverend Pat Mahoney. It took a lot to get this guy who's very technologically challenged on live, but I think we have him. Pat, are you actually there?
I am, but I wish all the viewers could have seen the dynamic before setting up for this for about 20 minutes. All I kept hearing was, Pat, you had half a head. And I wasn't quite sure if you were making a pejorative comment applying to my brain, or technically only half of my head was on the screen, or let's be honest, maybe both. But hopefully my full head, my full voice is with you right now. Yes, I'm of the vintage of tin cans with strings and carrier pigeons. That's my technological experience.
Reverend Mahoney, my two-year-old granddaughter could work an iPhone better than you can.
Where is she? I didn't have my grandkids around. That's why this was such a mess. It was me trying to figure out. Look, it's 68. I'm just happy I don't have a flip top anymore, or a Saved by the Bell kind of phone that Zach used to walk around with.
Or like you used to do at events, is borrow our phones.
Oh, of course. Well, that for the viewers, that was the Pat Mahoney AT&T plan. I go, here's how I used to work it. The Pat AT&T plan to China. Brian, can I borrow your phone?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Hello,
yeah.
Beijing, Reverend Pat Mahoney. That was my plan, borrowing everyone's phone. But look what it left me with. No ability, no mental capabilities to work an iPhone. And poor Rob and you, listen, these guys worked overtime just to try to get this broadcast, podcast. So I hope you like it.
And when you offered to pay us for the phone calls, it was usually a rubber check, wasn't it?
I wouldn't say it was a rubber check. That's too kind. It was more like a lead check because it didn't quite bounce. Just a quick story.
It was the account that you had already closed that you wrote us a check for.
Right. I didn't know, but nevertheless, it was to a major supporter of yours, and they helped with an event, and you're going, don't worry, Reverend Mahoney's good. He'll pay for this. You front the money. Reverend Mahoney will kick in, and then the check bounced.
Oh, okay. My God. It didn't just bounce. It went through the floor.
It went through the floor. And I think it was one of those checks where they resubmitted it and it still didn't go through. But happy ending. It was from an account we had just closed. You have to remember, Brian, back in those days, we were getting sued all the time with Operation Rescue, and they were cleaning our bank accounts out. So we had to constantly go to different bank accounts.
And now it's Joe Biden's turn to clean out our accounts.
Well, it'll be interesting anyway. How this all works out. We'll have to see. But definitely since the Texas, the Supreme Court refusing to block that ban, the pro-choice community, the Biden administration, Congress, activists have become completely unhinged. And by the way, this Saturday, I don't know if you knew this, Brian, but the Women's March is ending at the Supreme Court prayer rally begins,
Before we get into some stories, let's talk about, because you and I will both be meeting in D.C. this coming weekend. Tell us what's going on.
Sure. Several months ago, I went to the Supreme Court. I felt God lead me to pray for the Mississippi case. It was May 14th. It had been sitting there for a year, no action on it. They submitted it May 2020. This was May 2021. I prayed on May 14th, and then the next Monday, they agreed to hear the Dobbs v. Jackson case. We really felt strongly, Purple Sash Revolution, Stanton Public Policy Center, that we needed to pray for this case. It was a hinge moment. It's a historic moment. It's the most important case since Roe v. Wade. This may be the case to overturn Roe v. Wade. And the case just kept getting bigger and bigger. 3 weeks later, the Mississippi Attorney General asked the Supreme Court, listen to this, to use this case to overturn Roe v. Wade. Then, a few weeks ago, we have the Texas case.
Yes.
So, Brian, you and I have been in this a long time, you for decades, me for 48 years, I'm 68. This is what we have been praying for. This is what we have been seeking God. And Purple Sash Revolution felt we had to consecrate this session. It's being heard December 1st. We had to consecrate this session and have a large prayer gathering. So we have 36 plus groups. We're honored to have Priests for Life joining with us, Stan True, SBA, so many others, who will be at the court Saturday, October 2nd from 2 to 4 p.m., worshiping God and praying that this will be the case that will dismantle Roe. And so we are thrilled and we are thankful. Just think for a second, Brian, if we weren't there on Saturday, and Father Frank's going to be up, we have a whole series of events on Sunday, a national rosary, a church service, candlelight vigil Sunday night with Melissa Oden. We're there again Monday, October 4th, when the court opens. We're inviting everyone to join us in prayer. This is our moment, and I would encourage everyone, you can go to purple-revolution.com for more information or our Facebook event page, Pray to End Abortion, Dismantle Roe. You'll see it, but purple-revolution.com. And I'm glad, Brian, we've been through a lot of battles. Isn't it great that we both have gray hair? I'm jealous you still have hair.
Yes. I don't. No receding line yet.
No, your hair's looking like I'm bitter.
Not bad for 54 years old.
I'm very bitter right now. I have a seed of hair bitterness in me. But no, everybody who said, oh, bald men look wonderful, they look sexy, the only people who ever say that are people that don't have hair. No
well,
one with a full
That's anyway. Bad because you, so, if you were Vin Diesel, maybe. But yeah, you don't have the body Vin Diesel or The Rock.
You're not Vin Diesel.
The Rock.
I'm far from Vin Diesel. But listen, Brian, this is the moment. I know that it's been your passion and you've devoted your whole life to this. And you have stressed over and over that Roe will not survive my generation. And we are right at the edge of history right now. This could be the case, and we will be praying that will overturn Roe v. Wade. And I'm excited that you'll be at our side.
Absolutely.
You'll be praying there and at the other events we're having. Mm-hmm. So it's wonderful. It's historic. And you know what's wonderful about prayer? It transcends politics. There'll be
Absolutely.
People screaming, blowing whistles, doing all things. And we'll be talking to God, asking God to intervene. And through prayer, we can see God shape history and end abortion violence. And it's nice, Brian, that we're together.
We have been at the Supreme Court so many times. I think the very first one was in 1994, where Laurel Forman and I emptied the trash can with the baby, baby parts onto the steps, back when we were allowed to protest on the steps. And a lot of regulations have been changed, like even the candlelight prayer vigil, thanks to our good friend Eric Whittington, we can no longer use real candles at the Supreme Court.
Brian, you weren't supposed to mention that, but that is a funny story. The Supreme Court spent a couple million dollars resurfacing the sidewalk.
Yep.
A week after they finished, there was a candlelight vigil, I think with Rock for Life.
Yes.
They had real candles and they got wax everywhere.
All over.
I got called in, Brian, by the Supreme Court Chief of Police, and he was livid. And I did not lie, but I did not dime Eric out. He's there. Somebody had real candles and they got wax over this new special finish and we had to go out and power wash it. Reverend Mahoney, how could this have happened? Chief, I am so angry about this.
You know, Pat,
I am so upset about this. Anyway, no, Brian, my favorite story of you in DC, or one of them, there's so many, we could be on for 28 hours, not 28 minutes, is when you did the Children of Hillary's Village. And do you remember it was so cold, we couldn't even nail
the spikes into the ground. We had 4,400 crosses across from the White House, and the giant, I think it was like a 60-foot banner. These are the Children of Hillary's Village. So when the Clintons got into the White House from the inauguration parade, that was the view they had right there by the Washington Monument.
And we got this great idea, and it was a great idea. Put like little nails on the back of crosses, and you could hammer them in and go very quickly. Yes. We just didn't count that in Washington, D.C. for the inauguration, that whole week would be about 10 degrees and the ground was literally frozen and people were like just working overtime to get that done.
It wasn't as cold as the Obama year, but it was pretty darn cold.
It was very cold. But Brian, think about this. First of all, I love the title of your program because I was a pastor in New York City, actually. I've always been a big punk fan, and I was there in the late 70s when the lower Eastern Village at CBGB's, punk was emerging, and it was countercultural, it was hip, it came against the establishment, it came against the government, it was great. And it's so fascinating, 43 years later, being pro-life is that same spirit and that same attitude. We're punk now. Of course, I can't get the mohawk. I got maybe the faux. I don't know what I have going on, but you got it going on. But that's what I love. And I want to encourage everyone who's prayed, who's gone out, passed out literature, made baskets at home for women with unexpected pregnancies, have labored. This is your moment. This is our moment. Your sacrifice, your commitment, your labor, which no one has seen, which no one ever will give you an award, or you'll never be on probably a podcast like this. It is your sacrifice that has created this historic moment. And so we need to move carefully. Again, I'm going to keep giving this. purple-revolution.com. Go to that for information. October 2nd, from 2 to 4, Brian will be there. Of course, Father Frank, 30 plus other major groups. We're delighted to have like Live Action, SBA, Students for Life, Ryan Bomberger, the list goes on, Charlotte Lozier. And we're just delighted. If people are wondering, wow, Purple Sash Revolution, what's Purple Sash? Brandy Swindell, the founder of it, it goes back to the suffragists. They wore sashes when they fought for equal rights for women, and the overwhelming majority opposed abortion.
Yes.
And so we're wearing the sashes that says equal rights for preborn women up front, and it's amazing.
There's so many stories involving you and I, or you mostly, where you could use that phrase like you used earlier. I wasn't intending to lie.
Brian.
Come on, I'm just saying. So we're in California. We're going on a speaking tour. Me, you, Jeff White, Cheryl Conrad, Ruben Obregon, who now works at Priest for Life. And we were heading up to San Jose, and we stopped for lunch in Santa Maria. And we decided to kill some time at a record store. You and I both love music. So we're in the record store, and I pull Jeff White aside, and I say, hey, we're going to play a prank on Reverend Mahoney. And I pulled this CD off the shelf with a band called MOD. They were also known as SOD, Stormtroopers of Death, Missionaries of Death. And the lead singer, Billy Milano, at the time, I was much larger. Him and I looked identical. Like, you could put pictures of us and you
couldn't
see the difference.
You did.
And there's this, the album cover, a shark was biting a leg and there's blood. And so we called you over and we're like, hey, Reverend Mahoney, did you know that Brian, you know, used to be in this band? He was real popular, just raunchy, you know, all this stuff. And you look at the back of the CD and you see Billy Milano, but you thought it was me. And we told you that was my stage name. And you bought into it hook, like, and sinker. But we didn't realize those. We went away laughing. You bought this CD. And we didn't realize that. So we're in San Jose and we're at this church, like 1,000 people.
Oh, it was huge.
Massive church, older people. And I was going to be the main speaker that night. We were switching every night. So you were introducing me. And I'm sitting in the front row and you started your introduction. Go ahead, tell what you were thinking and what you were saying to this crowd.
Well, first of all, it's like one of the first times I met you.
Yes.
And so I knew you were very much into music and I knew you were into spoken word and I knew you were into punk, obviously just looking at you. So I have the CD cover and it's this massive church crowd and I'm coming to introduce them, Brian. And all of a sudden I go, brothers and sisters, I want you to know we have a very special guest. He used to be in a world famous band called Missionaries of Death, but now he's a missionary for life and he's standing for God. And I'm promoting the CD and I'm saying, you used to be this lead singer. And like the crowd goes insane.
We're in the front row going, no, no.
Yeah, you guys are going, no. But the people in the church think it's the greatest thing in the world that suddenly this missionary of death who hated life had a Saul of Tarsus to Apostle Paul conversion. And guess what? This was like one of his first speaking engagements. You have to tell the part about the thing was, because that is the part that I think is maybe the most incredible part of the
story. Yeah. But see, the thing was, Pat, you weren't lying because you thought that was the truth.
I didn't know.
Everything you said about me and my past was true. It just wasn't that band. I wasn't in that band. But I was this bad, evil drug and all this stuff. But I'm like, oh my gosh, like false testimony here at this giant church. And after the rally, and this was a pro-life rally, we were raising money for some big pro-life projects going on. And these little old ladies, so sweet, they were coming up and giving me hugs and literally wanting to hand me $100 bills and checks to donate. And I had to tell them all, I said, I told a couple of them, one I think wrote this huge check. And I pulled her aside and I explained that I said, my life was exactly like that, but that one detail, she's like, I don't care. I just want to donate and stuff. But it was, oh my gosh.
Hey, listen. You should have given me that money. Then I wouldn't have bounced those checks to you later on. No, well, it was beautiful. And Brian, the fascinating thing about it, and this is what I love. We may have matured, but the battle, the fault lines are exactly the same. And now we are seeing what you didn't mention in that many of the churches we went to in Southern California in during that time period. I don't know if you were at this event, but we had to have SWAT team members in the church because ACT UP activists and AIDS activists had syringes with AIDS-infested blood that they were going to inject into us. And we actually spoke in Northern California with SWAT team members there. And Brian, I think we're coming to a moment like that again in the fact that in the late 80s and early 90s, they really thought Roe was going to be overturned. And unfortunately in 92, we thought it would happen with Casey and it didn't. But here we are 30 years later on the edge of this moment. That's why I want to encourage everyone, if you can't come out to the event, to continue in prayer, because brothers and sisters, we don't want to add another 30 years onto this battle. We don't want to see millions of more innocent children die and women diminish through the violence of abortion. And so I'm saying, whatever your plans are, try to get out to the Supreme Court October 2nd, Saturday. I know it'll be last minute, but December 1st, they're hearing the case. Try to get out then. We're expecting an end of June decision. But remember, Brian, people need to understand this. I was a lead plaintiff on Bray versus Alexandria, which was argued before the Supreme Court in the fall, and they issued the case at the end of January. It's unlikely it'll come out at the end of January, but it could. Either way, we need to be praying, and I'm just thrilled we're in this moment. So go to purple-revolution.com or a Facebook event page, pray to end abortion, hashtag dismantle Roe. Brian, I'm glad you're there with me. You're there all weekend, so hopefully we'll have some.
You're only glad I'm there so you don't get beat up, Pat.
listen, oh, well, I won't go into huge detail, but I had a lengthy meeting yesterday with the Supreme Court police, the head of their security, and they're expecting 5,000 to 10,000 at the local women's march there, which, by the way, will end at the Supreme Court the same time we begin. I'm glad God's bringing them there so we can pray for them.
Their era, contrast. That's because their era is coming to an end.
That's right.
And the era of life is beginning.
Thank God.
So, Pat, we've had some fun times. We've had some crazy times. We've both been arrested together many times. Not to glorify being arrested, but we're willing to lay our freedom down for the sake of the lives of the children. Or when former President Obama said, you can't kneel and pray with a sign in front of the White House, we decided, oh, well, we're going to. You're not going to. But I think one of my favorite ones was an event that, and we've been the first at a lot of things. I was the first one really to hold rock concerts for pro-life. You know, I was one of the first tattooed, pierced Mohawk people for pro-life.
Oh, you shocked everyone. You know, listen, they had, thank God for the church ladies with their life is beautiful, life is lovely. But all of a sudden you came like punk band. And because that was your genre, your early shows were pretty punk, which I loved. And people, they're like, wow. This is unreal. So
I remember we were going to take place. You had this idea of having the first ever. No one had ever done a successful demonstration inside the White House. And we were going to have, we all had on a shirt that had an image of a child that had been killed by abortion and a message to then President Bill Clinton. And we had a couple hundred of us lined up to go into the White House through the tour back when you can just line up and do a tour. And we all had shirts over that. And they knew we were coming in, but we were all going to take our shirt off at the same time and expose what an abortion was inside the White House, which we did. But there were so many media and press there waiting for this to happen. And I remember you looking to me and to Jeff and a few of us going, why are all the media running? Why are they all leaving? What happened, Pat, that the first ever protest inside the White House was not televised?
Well, let me just say this, a little setup beforehand at the with the press secretary for President Clinton. So a couple hours before, word leaked out what we were doing. Well, of course, it leaked out because we sent out a news release. But nevertheless, word leaked out. And to President Clinton's credit, all the media were asking, we hear these anti-abortion people are coming into the White House. And the press secretary said, it wasn't George Stephanopoulos. Or maybe it was. But anyway, the press secretary said, well, the president believes in free speech, so we're not going to prohibit them from going in. So we have this, like, literally, it looked like, you know, the Pope coming to America or the Beatles landing. It's like the Beatles landing in New York when they did the Ed Sullivan show. We never had so much media at the event because it was so built up. And then all of a sudden, like, they evaporate. And we're there, oh, Lord, what happened? The Monica Lewinsky story broke at the exact time that they would have covered us in the White House. And they all went running to cover Monica Lewinsky. So it was a
little- We still did it though. We still went in, we showed the shirts, and it wasn't about the media, it was about being a light in the darkness and spreading the truth. So it was a great event.
Brian, you have to know, we are the only group to this day-
That's ever done something
that's
like
had a peaceful protest in the White House. Listen, that was allowed by the president. It could never happen, obviously, today. So I was glad the children were represented, just like we were the first when we did Voices of the Womb from the United States Capitol building. There's so many things, and that's why I love your title. We're doing these cutting edge things. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a little old, The Handmaid's Tale. It's kind of boring. We're kind of on the fresh, cutting edge, creative thing. And who knows, I'm sure something will emerge the weekend of October 2nd and 3rd, and then the court opens Monday the 4th. Just be looking on your television sets. Oh, yeah. I'm sure you'll see some exciting things going on for life.
And right here at End Abortion TV, people can watch it on all of our social media. We'll be broadcasting. Now, Pat, we have about 3 minutes left, and then I'm gonna talk for a couple of minutes and then ask you to close us in prayer. But the last time you and I were at the White House together, there was a congressman, Schumer, who literally, this was talking about pro-life, talking about abortion, threatened the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Literally threatened. This is how entrenched these Democrats, now I know you're a Democrat, but you're pro-life and such, but these hardcore abortion activists, in especially in Congress, are so dedicated to keeping the murder of innocent little boys and girls legal that he was willing to, on the media, threaten Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. It blew my mind when that happened. And nothing, no censure, no nothing came of that. People talked about it, but nothing happened. The fact is, they know the truth is on our side. And they know their time is coming. And it's going to end. And we do believe that God is the author of life. And we do believe that God is on the throne. It doesn't matter that Joe Biden and Harris are in office, because God is on the throne. He is on the throne. And we both know that, Reverend Mahoney. And that's been our prayer for so many years, is that he will bring his people forth, his yes. people forth. And if they're bold enough to say something like that, all we're asking our people is to come and to pray, to get on their hands and knees before God, get on their face before God, and to pray and be a voice for the voiceless. So that's what I'm going to do to close this show out, Pat. We have so many stories. We'll have you back on again. But
I'd love to be back on and share some.
I want us to pray right now, and I want you to lead us in prayer that Christians and pro-lifers around the world will realize there is no time for timidity. There is no time to be timid.
No.
It might offend someone for you to stand up for life, but what's more offensive is human beings being ripped limb from limb in their mother's womb. So, Pat, why don't you close us in prayer, and we'll go from there.
Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your graciousness, your mercy, and your love. You describe yourself as the way, the truth, and the life. You are the sustainer of life. You are the creator of life. And all life has value, dignity, and purpose. God, we pray for the Dobbs v. Jackson case. We pray that the Supreme Court would uphold this law, but even in a greater way, that they would overturn Roe v. Wade. But either way, Father, Roe v. Wade is being dismantled, and we are thankful that abortion violence is going to end up on the scrap heap of history, like chattel slavery and segregation. God, move powerfully this weekend. Touch all the justices. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pat, thank you for being on here. I will see you in a couple of days in Washington,
can't wait.
D.C. And everybody, I hope you're enjoying this show. Pro-Life is the New Punk Rock, and we're going to have lots more guests. Pat, we're going to have Brandi Swindell from Purple Sash Revolution.
Great. Soon.
And we're excited.
She'll be out
about
this
it.
Weekend, so you'll yeah. get a chance to see her.
We're just excited for what God's doing, and I know Father Frank and I are excited to be a part of it. So we'll see you guys.
Well, we're so honored to have both you, so we couldn't be more thrilled.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. This has been Brian Kemper with Reverend Pat Mahoney. This is Pro-Life is the New Punk Rock.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.